Hi, Tori and Kevin. This is Kerstin from Germany, and I wanted to answer one of the questions that you raised on the most recent episode of your podcast. You were wondering what kind of hamster wheel Tony was strapped into when he and Angela were competing for who could have the most fun without the other person. Well, the thing is called Rhönrad, and it's a rather obscure piece of sports equipment that was invented in Germany in the early 1920s. Rad means wheel, and Rhön is a range of low mountains that we have over here, and that's where the inventor lived, and so that's what he called his wheel. I think in English, if you want to look it up to learn more about it, the Rhönrad is mostly referred to as a gym wheel or German wheel. And this was my little random piece of information for you. Keep up the good work with the podcast. I'm really enjoying it, and I look forward to the next episode. Thank you. Bye bye.
Oh, by the way, did somebody park a yuppie-looking convertible out there with the top down?
Yes, why?
Because somebody's sprinkler is watering your front seat.
I'd love to stay in shot, but that would be dumb.
No. Dumb is leaving your top down next to a sprinkler.
The passenger seat must be soaked by now. Can I give you a lift? Tuesday, Angela.
Yes, Trish.
Bye-bye,
thanks
Trish.
A lot.
Trish, moment.
Hello, Charlie. I'm Angela Bauer.
Yeah, I know. Sam told me all about you. You're Tony's boss.
Yes.
Now, you're more than a boss. You're more like a friend.
Oh,
yeah. Nah, it's more than a friend. It's almost like you guys got something going. Not actually going, but maybe sometime.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of...
Ayo. Away.
The Who's the Boss podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin. We didn't really discuss who was going to do the...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, usually it's defaulted to me,
yeah,
which is
pretty
fine.
Much. Yeah. That's what I was just... that's what I was waiting for.
Pretty much. Okay. All right.
Did we say our names?
Yeah,
yes, we did.
Yeah.
We are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss. I have a tiny bit of news, I guess.
Oh,
but
what is it?
It's not like... So I'm a little uncomfortable saying it just because it's actually just from Danny's Instagram. But Danny Pintaro's been doing a few conventions around, and lately he's been very active on social media, which he normally is not. So he did a live from one of the conventions, and he was answering some questions, and somebody asked about the reboot. And he said, you know, I don't know. He said it's kind of stalled. But then he really gave the impression that he has not been asked to really be involved in it. In a way that he just said, like, he doesn't know if it's stalled because the plan is really for it just to be Tony and Samantha, but still call it Who's the Boss. But yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be like, personally, I think this is a hard reboot to do to begin with. If you don't have the entire cast,
yeah, that's what
that's
I was about to
presently
say.
Alive,
right,
in the reboot, it's going to be an even more difficult sell.
Right.
So
no, there's no Mona. There's no, you know, Judith Light.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they're just rebuilding a show that is going to have new characters, but still be a reboot, so to speak.
Yeah, with only two of the original.
Right.
Cast.
Exactly, yeah. The point. If you don't get, you know, Jonathan involved.
Right. And I think, honestly, the highest profile character would be Angela, because Judith Light has worked so much in recent years.
Yeah, yeah.
And because if Tony and Angela aren't together, then you are erasing the happily ever after ending that the show got, and then trying to sell a new show. So unless they can frame it in a way where Angela's just somewhere and Tony is helping Samantha out, but then that doesn't really explain why we wouldn't see Jonathan at all.
I'm laughing because the future doesn't look bright for this
really
reboot.
Doesn't.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't. So I would rather at this point just not have it happen, which I know is a weird thing, but I feel like that's actually the consensus of a lot of people, unless it can be done in a way where...
Right. Like, what do you do with Angela? Like, you're right. Like, if Tony's not with her, right? So the happily ever after ending is gone. Like,
right.
That was a bitter divorce.
Right, exactly.
And now Angela's this, you know,
and
what?
Like, we love Tony and Samantha, but people didn't watch 8 years of this show for Tony and Samantha.
Right.
They watched
right.
it.
Right. So basically, again, what I was saying before, you're watching a show that's built off of Samantha's new family or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And Tony's just this guy showing up that either Angela's dead or divorced or right. or he's visiting her to help her get her back on her feet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or yeah. whatever. I mean, I'm completely.
I mean, the way I've heard Alyssa Milano sell the premise so far is that her husband has left her and she is a working mom and she has these kids and Tony comes to help her take care of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a one season and like he's there to visit.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Again.
It's just, it's not looking good. But we'll see.
That's pretty much what we just took the last 4.5 minutes to say.
We'll see how it goes. Okay, so today we're going to cover episode six. How many times have I said that? Season six, episode two. Mm. The title's called Life's a Ditch. It first aired on Tuesday, September 26th, 1989. And the TV Guide summary says, Angela's friend Trish, who owns a modeling agency, gives Sam's pal Charlie a new lease on life.
Hmm. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. Here's what I got.
Okay.
Tony welcomes a visit from Sam's Brooklyn neighborhood buddy, Charlie Briscoe. When he learns that she has left school and home, he calls her mother. But when rudely told, keep her, he refuses. Sam scolds that disloyal hypocrisy, which even Trish rebukes. As he's her dream parent.
No, Charlie rebukes.
I don't know. I'm just reading what this says.
No, I know.
After a dog food photo shoot at the Bauer home, agent Trish Carlin comes up with an alternative. Yet Charlie seems uninterested. That's wrong. That's completely wrong, right?
Yeah. Wait, did it say Trish Carlin?
Trish Carlin, yeah.
Oh, because here it says Trish Curtis.
Well,
all sorts of stuff going on in that summary there. Is it our usual one?
Yeah.
All right. It was an off night. So this episode's written by Ross Brown and his only other writing credit is for Living Dolls. So now
that makes sense.
If you may be confused when we cover this episode, cause you're going to be like, wait a minute, didn't they already cover an episode that was like this, but different? And the answer is yes, but that's because the episode that we covered last season, called Living Dolls, never actually aired until it went to syndication. Now they've kind of thrown it in season five, and
right.
So it doesn't really make any sense. So erase your memory.
Why do they do that? Just to
release everything that's there? I guess just to have one more episode.
That's true,
maybe
for syndication
they get
or whatever.
Extra money for that or something? I don't know. So pretend that that episode didn't happen, and now this episode is the only one that actually aired in the original broadcast run. And then right after this episode, there was a new version of Living Dolls, which is the episode that we covered, that aired after it. That was different in the fact that they didn't have to set up Trish because we knew who she was from this episode.
Right.
Tony doesn't try to get his cousin's headshot to Trish because instead we find out here that it's he wants to be the model. So there are a few differences, but this is the official lead-in to the spinoff, Living Dolls.
It just seems so odd. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what they shot that whole original one, and then, like, what was the plan here to get this show on the air, Living Dolls? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, well, they also recast quite a few people in the actual episode, Living Dolls, from the actors that we saw.
Right.
So
that's right,
they must
true.
Have just not been happy with it at all.
I guess
and they were like, let's
so.
Rework
like really
it a bit.
They were really reworking it. I mean, they were just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall here.
But I kind of like the idea better of having them have an episode that still has them in it.
Right.
And then going into this.
This is much better. This is what they should have originally done.
Yeah.
Because that other thing was like, hey, here's this whole other show. Here's 2.5 minutes of everybody in the kitchen and then another show.
And we had to deal with that one several times now with Mona. That was an episode where we saw everybody else at the beginning and then she's on her own.
And then she's at the hotel or whatever.
Yeah, and the one with Fran Drescher and Donna Dixon as well.
Gosh,
so,
I forget. Yep.
Yeah. We've been doing this for like 14 years. You just don't.
This podcast?
You don't remember some of the earlier ones.
It feels like it. No, I mean, seriously though, like this was a much better plan. This episode airs.
Yeah.
And then it went right into that other show.
Yeah.
This is the way it should have. I don't.
Yeah. I
mean, I'm not a network executive. I don't know.
I didn't make these decisions.
I know. I'm just like kind of saying with people are home or probably
yes
or in their car or wherever they're at.
I agree, and I'm also happy that the spinoff kind of doesn't happen as much anymore, right? I mean, I guess we had Better Call now. They like prequels,
right?
Better Call Saul,
or they come back.
Sopranos prequel.
12 years later, like Dexter, or
oh yeah, well reboots, yes. Yeah, I'm really enjoying the
It's a reboot, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I see what you're saying. It's not a spinoff. It's a reboot.
Right,
it's a reboot. I got you. Yeah. I'm...
Meanwhile, it has nothing to do with this podcast, but I'm really enjoying the Dexter
reboot. Yeah, it's very good. It's fun.
And if we get this done in an hour, we can watch it.
So let's go. Sunday night.
Okay. When this episode starts, Tony is in the kitchen cleaning with Samantha and Mona. Now, the reason why he's cleaning the kitchen even more than usual is because... a commercial is going to be shot in the kitchen. So Angela's friend Trish has come to visit and they're working on a campaign together.
Okay, let's say so it's Angela's campaign or client or whatever, technically.
Yeah, so they're going to be shooting a commercial in the kitchen. They don't really say, oh no, they do say that it's about dog food because they're like, you know.
Oh, they do? Because I missed that.
Yeah, here at the beginning, they do go ahead and set up the fact that it's a dog food commercial because they're telling him, like, the dogs aren't going to notice if your appliances are clean or not. And Tony makes some joke about, what do you know? Scooby-Doo has a microwave.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, not that Scooby-Doo has a microwave, but that's right that Tony said that.
Yeah, I have no idea if...
I have no idea if Scooby-Doo has a microwave.
But they don't have a microwave. Not that we see, unless it's over the oven and we just don't see it because Tony stands there. Probably, right?
Because that's the way a lot of microwaves are.
Right, over the oven.
And then like here in our house.
Yeah. Then Tony gets a 70s pot of coffee.
Well, I had that pot. I think I've gone over that before. That
carafe is awesome.
That coffee maker is an under-the-counter coffee maker that they leave on the counter. We had the same one and had the same pot.
Right. Is it a Mr. Coffee?
Yes.
Okay. Because I feel like that little flower on the side.
Yes, that's Mr. Coffee.
So Tony goes out into the living room where Angela and Trish are working on the campaign, and he offers them some more coffee. And for some reason, Angela's going to be, she's going to finish up this business meeting and go straight to her job at the diner because her hair is in a hairnet, and I can't understand why. So Tony and Trish.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the whole back of it's like in a little black hairnet.
What is?
Maybe she's going to a funeral. I don't know what's happening
here.
That
must have had to have been some kind of look.
Yeah, some kind of look. So Tony's kind of being his Tony self, and he's teasing Trish and saying, you know, if you're ever looking for a Roman god, I'm available. And Angela's making a joke, like, I'm sure she's got a fig leaf with your name on it. And Tony's making some kind of modeling Roman god pose.
Right, whatever that is. It's what Tony thinks is a Roman god.
Yes.
And the fig leaf, I don't think he got the fig leaf reference.
Well, yeah. But
he looked confused when she said it. He kind of looked at her like, what?
Because he's probably thinking, my junk's one of my best assets. Right, so why would
gonna,
you cover it with a leaf?
You ain't
going to
cover this junk with a fig leaf, is what he's thinking. Anyway.
So he goes to answer the door because the doorbell rang. And there is a young girl standing there. And this is Charlie Briscoe, the actress Leah Remini, who we all know from King of Queens and a lot of other stuff. And her Scientology escape show that we still haven't watched that I want
and
to.
She was also in Saved by the Bell.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she plays...
Was that before or after? You know what? We can't get into it.
After this.
Okay. So,
or around the same time.
Yeah, because she's really... I didn't realize how close in age she is to Alyssa Milano. And she also looks very similar to Alyssa Milano.
Yes.
So Tony answers the door and she's like, hey, Mr. Maselli, how's it going? And he's like, oh, great, good. How are you? Who are you? Because he can't remember. He doesn't remember her from. She says, "You know, I'm Charlie from Brooklyn." So he hasn't seen her in about 5 years. He's like, "You got a you much taller," and she's like, "Yeah, I've grown because that's how that works." Then she sees Trish and Angela sitting there, and she's like, "Listen, some yuppie parked a convertible in the front yard, and there are sprinklers shooting right into the front seat." Well, that's Trish's car. So Trish is like, "I got to get out of here," and she leaves. And then once she's gone, and she kind of has like a little bit of a banter back and forth with Charlie as she's walking out the door, where Charlie's saying kind of mean stuff to her, and she's kind of throwing it back at her.
Yeah, because she says like, my passenger side's probably pretty wet. Do you want to ride home?
Do you want to ride? Yeah, ride back.
Or do you want to ride back?
Yeah. So she leaves, and then Angela introduces herself to Charlie, and Charlie's like, oh no, I know who you are. You're Mr. Miceli's boss. And then she's like, oh no, I mean, you're more than a boss. You're like, you're friends. Actually, you're more than friends. It's almost like you two have something going on. And then she's like, well, maybe not something going on yet, but, and then Tony just shuts her up. So that's the one little, so I guess we're to assume that Samantha has talked to Charlie at some point and been like, yeah, my dad's hot for his boss. But nothing's happening yet. Because how else would Charlie know all that information?
Yeah. Or welcome to the club.
She's heard it from Tony's friends back in the neighborhood. So then Samantha comes in and the two of them are teasing each other, calling each other pig face and barf breath and Betty and Veronica. And they're very excited to see each other. So Charlie explains that she and her mom were in the area because they're visiting cousins. So she figured she would look Samantha up and just come on over. Because that's what you did in the 80s.
You don't call. You don't write.
Yeah, you just ring a doorbell.
You just show up.
Sometimes you write.
Even if you're coming from like the West Coast or anywhere.
Because sometimes you write, but by the time your letter gets there, you're there also.
Forget it.
Sam and Charlie run upstairs. Tony goes back to cleaning the kitchen because of the commercial that's going to be shot. And I think this commercial is not going to be shot for a couple of days. So good luck keeping that kitchen clean, Tony. Like, who cleans their kitchen 2 days ahead of time, especially when you have children in the house?
Right.
I can't even vacuum until 30 seconds before someone's supposed to show up, or it's going to be ruined by the time they get here.
I don't even
want to
think about it. There's rage going just talking about it. But then what happens next, speaking of keeping the kitchen clean.
Speaking of children.
And speaking of children, Mona comes in. What does she say? How do you get butterscotch?
Yeah, what's easier? What's harder to get off the tile floor, butterscotch or caramel, I think?
And she's sitting there eating ice cream, which obviously she dripped that.
Yeah.
And she doesn't care, and she walked away from it like a child. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, either Mona smokes a lot of pot, or, I mean, she just acts like a child.
I think a little bit of both.
And doesn't care, doesn't give a crap.
Now, I think the Antenna TV version is missing some stuff from this scene.
Oh, okay. I think you're right.
So they get up to Samantha's bedroom, and Charlie's looking around. She's like, oh, nice boots. And Sam says, oh, those were a present from Angela. Oh, nice stereo. Oh, that my dad got that on sale. And she's like, wow, you have a lot of really nice stuff. And Sam's like, are you here to catch up, or you want to case the joint?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So Charlie,
that was in the antenna.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
but
I think what's
this
coming.
Part.
Yeah, it's like coming up a little bit here. She's going to explain that she's actually a runaway. I feel like that wasn't in the antenna TV version.
Yeah, you're right. It's not, and it's confusing without it.
Right, because they make it seem like she's just going to hang out for the night, and then she'll go back to her mom when she gets there.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense than. Well, I don't want to. Well, spoil it, whatever. But
spoil
when Tony
what?
Calls her mother,
right.
She's not going to care. It makes more sense. Like, why all of a sudden it took a turn? Your mother dropped you off. All of a sudden she doesn't care.
Right.
Like, I was a little confused when we watched it on antenna
TV. And now you're dead to her.
Yeah, this should not have been cut out.
Yeah. Charlie's trying to convince Sam to skip school the next day so they can have fun at the beach and play around. And Sam's like, no, you know, I really shouldn't. And Charlie's like, how come I'm ready to do this and you have a conscience? And she says, because my conscience walks around with a mob. Angry Italian father. And then Charlie's like, yeah, well, that's why I left home. Like, ever since I left, I have no one else to answer to, and it's great. So she's still trying to convince her to ditch. Now, downstairs, Tony's impressed with how put together Charlie is because she used to really get in trouble often. And Angela's like, oh, you know, don't worry. You used to get in trouble. I used to get in trouble. And then Tony starts laughing. Angela launches into a very lengthy story about how she was supposed to write a 15-page paper on Henry James, but she didn't like him so much that she only wrote 14 pages. And then she adjusted the margins so that when she printed it out, it appeared to be 15 pages.
You know what's great is I thought she was going to be like, the rebel part of it was that she turned in 14 pages.
Oh, right, no.
No, it's the fact she went back double spaced to make it 15 pages. So it's something nobody probably noticed.
Right, no.
The teacher probably didn't notice. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
But she felt like she was a rebel.
Yeah, and Tony calls her the rebel typist.
The rebel typist.
Charlie convinces Samantha to ditch the next day. And when Tony comes upstairs to check on the girls, they tell him that Charlie's going to spend the night because she doesn't have school the next day, according to them.
It's right. A parent teacher work day.
Yeah, teacher yeah, work day. And so she's going to stay over, and then in the morning, Sam will go to school and she'll go home. So Tony falls for it. And he's like, okay, great. The next morning, Sam and Charlie come downstairs and they're both very excited about their ditch day. But Sam's still a little nervous because she's like, oh, it's going to be so great to go to the beach and get a tan. And then she's like, oh, crap, a tan. My dad's going to figure that out. And Charlie has much more experience at this. Oh, yeah. She's like, just
wear. Beach is not smart.
No, she's like, just wear sunscreen. You'll be fine. So they're about to go into the kitchen. She's telling her to play it cool. And Tony comes around the corner with a laundry basket.
Of course.
And he says, it's time for breakfast, girls. And they're like, oh, you're going to actually let us go in the kitchen and eat? Because I didn't mention that the night before when they invited her to stay for dinner, he said that he was just going to get a bucket of chicken and they were going to all eat in the yard.
All sit in the yard.
But the reason why he's comfortable with them coming into the kitchen this morning is because it is covered in plastic.
Yeah, it looks like the Dexter kill room.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of Dexter.
Yes.
They sit at a table that has plastic on top of it. All the counters are covered. And Charlie sits down. He hands out little boxes of cereal. Man, ever since, even with the kitchen not being like this, he would have still just done that because ever since he went to college, the breakfast options have gotten.
Oh, I know. It used to be pretty freaking gourmet around there. And even now it's cereal.
Little boxes of cereal.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. That, I mean, was way more there then than now. Yeah,
those little boxes of cereal.
Yes. I remember my, and there was always like the Special K and the crap that got left. Like nobody ate that.
Right. In the,
like my
in
dad
the
would eat it because that was what was left. And me and my brother would eat the Frosted Flakes and the Lucky Charm or whatever.
But there was never enough cereal in those boxes.
No, and they still sell them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And you're supposed to be able to actually
eat it out of the
box. The milk in there.
I was about to say that. You're supposed to be able to cut open the box. Yeah. The box like opens.
Yeah.
And then you can cut open the plastic and pour the milk in there and eat the whole thing.
I've never tried that. No, because especially with a child, they'd get that everywhere.
It'd be terrible.
So when Charlie reaches for one, Mona reaches for the same one. And then Mona's like, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you're a guest. And so then she grabs it real quick. And she's like, because if you lived here, you'd know to be faster. And Charlie says, you remind me of my mother. And we already know that Charlie's mom is not great because she's left home. And she said all her mom cares about is her boyfriends. So I feel like Charlie and Angela could really sit down and have a deep conversation.
Maybe. Yeah,
yeah, they could really bond. Now, Jonathan comes in and Angela doesn't win Mother of the Year either here because he's like, Mom, I don't feel so good. And she touches his arm and says, you don't have a fever.
Arm? Really?
Like, how do you know? Because at first I thought maybe they'd cut something out that we didn't
see. That's what I thought too.
In the antenna TV version, but in this version too, there's nothing additional. So they're trying to convince him. Now Charlie and Samantha hear that he wants to stay home from school that day. And they're like, oh no,
yeah,
this kid cannot.
Yeah, panic starts to set in.
Right. He can't cramp our style. So Charlie says, oh, there's something going around and there's a good, easy cure for it. And she says, all you need is a big needle in your butt to cure. She said it's called gamma globulin.
Globulin gamma or something.
And once he hears needle in the butt, he's like, oh, you know what? Actually, I feel a lot better. I'm ready for school. Meanwhile, this poor kid probably has the flu or something. He's going to throw up all over everyone and be
just sending them right off to
traumatized.
School. See ya.
Then as Angela and Mona leave, Mona tries to say that she needs to stay home. And yeah, Angela's nice try. Not buying it. Yeah. So she drags her out. So they leave. Then Tony asks Charlie, when are you leaving to go back to Brooklyn? And she's like, you know what? I think I'm just going to hang out with Sam today. It'd be fun to go to a school that I don't have to go through a metal detector.
Oh, yeah, she goes to a nice, tough school in Brooklyn.
She does, yeah. This is a fancy school here where you don't have to
now
do
all
that.
Schools have metal detectors.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
I guess.
Our kids don't, but I guess because it's a smaller school. But I think most of the high schools around here
really,
probably
do.
Really,
I believe it, yeah.
So the girls get ready to go to the beach. They come downstairs. They have on little kind of matching outfits, and they're singing a Beach Boys song, right? Yeah. And they
Wait
have
a minute. Fun. Tell me.
Daddy takes a
T-Bird away. Is it Jan and Dean or Beach
I have
Boys?
No. Look at who you're looking at.
I don't know. I can't remember if that's...
Let us know. I have no
I feel
idea.
Bad that I don't know.
But as they're singing, Tony walks back in the door and they're like, oh, crap.
Oh, it's the Beach Boys. I should have known that. It's not Jan and Dean.
But that's what you said at first, right?
I did, so I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, what are you guys doing? And they get caught trying to ditch school. And they're like, oh, what are we wearing? Oh, we should be getting ready. And he doesn't buy it. And he said, also, you know that you shouldn't take those fluffy towels. Of course, Tony.
Right, like immediately.
He's all worried about, like, the nice fluffy pink yellow towels going to the beach. Yeah. So he tells Sam she's grounded. And then he tells Charlie that he's going to call her mom. And she's like, you can call my mom, but she's not going to care. And Tony's like, hey, you got to stop it. So he gets on the phone, and the mom's name is Lorraine, and he's telling her, you know, your daughter did school, but I'm going to send her back to Brooklyn right now.
Wait a minute. Did he dial the number really fast?
Well, she tells him the number, and then he dials it.
That's right.
It in.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
The 555. Right. That's right.
Yeah. 6972.
How could I forget that?
Which
darn
I just,
it.
I only remembered that because I wonder if somebody's birthday was 69 and somebody's birthday was 72.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
When he's on the phone with Lorraine, she's telling him, keep her. I don't want her. I don't want her to come home. And that really upsets Tony. And now everybody kind of feels bad for Charlie. So later that night, when Angela and Mona get back, Tony is all depressed, sitting on the couch.
I know, just really contemplating.
And it's cute because they set it up as if at some point during the day, he talked to them, or at least Angela, and let them know what was going on, because they already know that, you know, Charlie doesn't have anywhere to go. So Mona offers her place. She says, we can just put an extra bed in there. I barely sleep there anyway. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, we know. And a side note, Mona's hair has been crazy this season.
Yeah, I think...
Like, really teased up. And I feel like she's got on a lot of makeup, more than... I noticed in the first episode and second episode of the season, the hair is extra crazy. Like,
yeah, you know...
Maybe they're like, well, she's... aging, we better make her look.
Move her into the... Yeah, because, you know what? She's kind of had more of a 70s hairstyle this whole time.
Yeah.
And now I feel like they are pushing her into more of an 80s look. Hairstyle. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, her hair has been crazy these last two episodes.
I love... By the end of the show, though, her hair is so cute when she kind of goes with the bangs and the bob that we see more on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes.
Later on.
Yes.
She looks really good. And Angela's hair in search of Tony was way more 80s than we had been seeing at the end of season 5. So I'm not really sure what's going on. It was like they didn't want to get rid of the 80s all of a sudden, and we clung to it for a tiny bit longer in 1989.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because her hair...
Gosh, I can't believe this is 1989.
I know.
Now I feel thinking like about it.
I feel like we've been in 1989 for like three seasons.
I almost said that
now.
Earlier when you said this episode was September or whatever. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're still in 1989.
I know, because we took a break, but we're so close to the 80s now. We're in September of 89.
You mean 90s?
I mean, I'm sorry, the 90s. Yeah. What's
anyway,
going on?
Go ahead.
Who am I? Angela, you know, feels really bad for Charlie. She says, is there any other family that she can go to? And Tony's like, yeah, she's got an uncle, but he's a horse's behind. And Angela's like, this is her family you're talking about. And he's like, no, he really is a horse's behind. He works for a traveling circus, so he can't take care of her.
Oh, my gosh. Ba-dum-tsh.
And then Mona...
Who writes this stuff?
With this one, I think Ross Brown. Blame him. I know. And Mona looks... You can tell the audience laughs, really. That's like one of the biggest laughs in this episode.
I mean, it's funny.
There aren't a lot of big... Because when I try to pick a clip, I always try to look for the biggest laugh and then go back from there to see if it, you know, summarizes the episode well enough. And it was hard to find a big laugh in this one, honestly. But that one is a big laugh. And Mona sits there and stares for a while. And then she goes, where does he put his head?
I know. That's actually funny, too.
That is funny. Because
her head, obviously, the head is up against somebody else's rear end.
And they get Mona out of the room, and then Angela says, Tony, no, really, where does he put his head? And Tony doesn't know. He barely knows this guy.
But I like that Angela's like, wait, where?
You know what? Angela's questioning it. It's bad. Now, this is my favorite part. So
this is funny.
She is still kind of very sad about the fact that Charlie doesn't have anywhere to go. And so for right now, they're going to let her stay with them, but they know that that's not a permanent solution.
No.
And it just makes her feel really sad that a mom would abandon her child. And Jonathan comes downstairs and he says something to her, and she turns around and just starts kissing his face all over.
It's insane.
And it's so cute how he's screaming. He's like, ah!
I know, and when he screams, his voice cracks.
Cracks so bad. Yeah, when she lets go of him, he goes, what the hell was that?
I know, his voice cracks again. So cute.
It's very cute. So she leaves. She's like, I'm sorry. I just couldn't help it. I had to kiss on you for a minute. And she walks out of the room. He looks at Tony and he's like, and you just stood there and did nothing.
What could Tony have done?
Yeah. He says she looked too dangerous to approach. So then Sam comes downstairs. And she's like, I don't want to know why you have lipstick on your nostrils. So Sam sits down with Tony.
With her puffy sleeves and her purple vest.
Yes. And like, it's interesting because the purple polka dot top, the polka dots are further apart than the purple.
I know,
polka
I noticed that too, bottoms. And I didn't understand what was going
that
on.
That had
there.
To have been a look, I guess. But I'm just.
I guess.
Or it's a wardrobe making me uncomfortable mistake. To have the not matching polka dots. So Sam's suggestion is, you know what? We can just have Charlie live with us. Yeah, you know what, Dad? Why don't you just ask your boss if another child can move into right. this house that's not one of her children?
Yeah, are you okay with that? Thanks.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be fine with it. And when that's not really a viable option for Tony, she gets all mad at him. And she's like, you know what? You've changed ever since we've moved here. And she runs it back upstairs.
Yeah, let me remind you, you ditched school earlier in the day yeah. or whenever.
Yeah, it was.
Let's
Yeah, yeah.
Stay
Let's
focused.
Simmer down. Yeah. You're the one that's still grounded, Missy.
Right?
Once Samantha leaves and Tony's seated all by himself again, Mona comes back in and she goes, okay, I know where he puts his head.
Okay, well, where?
I know.
They why? Don't say.
You didn't tell us, Mona. Come on.
That's funny.
It's the next day, I'm assuming, and they are getting ready to set up the kitchen for the commercial. Now, this is so cute because the table has been removed and a little tiny table is in its place because it's a dog food commercial. So right. a dog's going to come in there and he's going to eat the food. If Grover was still alive, they could have used Grover.
What? You're assuming Grover's dead.
I mean, or Mona just got rid of him.
Maybe he just sleeps a lot. You know what's funny about this is the fact that there's two like photographer umbrella lights.
Yeah.
Which, and I mean, if you know anything about TV, there would be these big, I don't know, there wouldn't be just two umbrella.
Oh.
Umbrella lights are for photography.
Well, maybe they are.
Is this supposed to be photography?
You know what? It might be a print ad, actually.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay, well, then I'll stay in my lane. I thought this was maybe that's, yeah, you're right. That looks like a photography.
Yeah,
the camera's so small, and I'm thinking nowadays when the camera can be small, it could be a video camera.
It would probably be an enormous camera.
All right, I'm going down a road.
Shooting video here.
All right.
But they just set stuff up anywhere to make it, not where you would really
I'm being nerdy.
And then they say, oh, you know what? This kitchen is actually way too clean. Let's mess it up because it doesn't look lived in.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So Angela and the photographer assistant start setting stuff out and throwing pieces of bread everywhere. And Angela just like takes breadcrumbs and throws them onto the stove.
I know. And it's like, what are you doing? And why are you just, what is... Bread everywhere.
Yeah. So. I mean, and honestly, if you're going to be shooting a dog down there, you're not even going to see that part of the
And then he's spraying like Pam or something all over the side of the toaster.
On the toaster that
which
Tony
puts
was
Tony
scrubbing.
Just about over the edge.
Yes. He comes in and he's clutching his pearls. Like this is very upsetting to him to see this happening to his kitchen. So Trish comes in.
Speaking of pearls, this woman has on like four pearl necklaces.
What Why? Is happening?
I don't know.
If you, it's it probably, would probably be the length
that
of
was
a football
the late 80s
field
thing.
If you stretch them all out.
It would be. Gosh.
So Angela asks where the model is. So there is a dog model, but then there's also a human model that's going to be working with
you.
Oh,
like that's the mom or whatever, or the person in the
dog
kitchen
mom.
While the dog is eating.
Yeah. And they make a joke, so Angela says, where's the model? And Trish says she had some trouble with her car. She couldn't find it because models are dumb.
I know. That's
terrible. And that's the joke that we're going to make about models being dumb.
It was late 80s.
I know. Come on, people.
Come on.
Let's be kinder and a little smarter. Then Charlie comes in. Do you notice that I'm pausing every time because I can't remember this child's name?
Charlie.
Charlie comes in. And she is annoyed.
Because it's kind of a male name, so it's confusing.
Yeah, not
Mostly.
Anymore.
I know not anymore. I mean,
then. Well,
not
yeah.
even then.
But I feel
but
like
I'm
they were probably,
more
probably like a little less common now. There's lots of Charlies for Charlottes now. But yeah, but I no, it's not even that. It's just that I can't remember anything. So, and it's a name that's different than the other five people who are normally on this show.
I know. I can't remember anything either.
And she's annoyed because there is a human model who's hogging the bathroom, putting on lip gloss, and has a really smelly perfume. Mm. And Trish is like, oh, Charlie, hi, there you are. Mm. Nice to see you again. Just being a pain in the butt. Again, yeah. So since Charlie's there, Angela asks her if she would mind being a stand-in. She's like, oh, sure, no, I can do that. And she runs over to the corner where she thinks the human model will be standing. But the photographer comes over and he's like, no, no, I need a stand-in for the dog because he's actually the star of the commercial. So she's like, oh, okay. So she gets down on all fours in front of the little tiny table and she's pretending that she's eating the dog food. And but, she's just... Okay.
Well, I just noticed that there's a... Do you remember those candles? That
oh, yeah, like a restaurant.
Why is that? Oh, I see. It's supposed to look like,
yeah.
All right, like, sorry. That I should have noticed that before. There's like a menu there, too.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to look all Lady and the Tramp.
Yes,
you know, okay, like a little red checkered tablecloth.
I missed the boat on that. All right. The candle then, got me. That is such an 80s candle with a little net around the glass. Oh, I love it.
It's bringing back memories.
I want one of those.
I know. I wonder if we could get those. I'm sure you can still get. You
probably can right after this.
The 99-cent store. So she's down there and she's being silly and like making some jokes and stuff. And now Charlie's kind of really seeing. I'm sorry. Trish is really seeing Charlie's personality, and she's getting an idea here. Now Tony tries to get back into the kitchen, but the dog is. Barking while biting him, and then
somehow, you hear constant barking, but yet has a good hold on his shoe. So stupid. Every sitcom with the dog barking noises.
And I love how, like, this is a dog that's a trained dog for
yet it's trying to kill Tony.
It's trying to kill someone like a stray that's running down the street. So later that evening. Trish is looking at the pictures and she's like, you know what? I think the photo shoot went rather well. And they're like, yeah, it was great once we made Tony stay outside. And then the kitchen door opens and Tony's like, Can I come back in?
I like that Trish has on the big glasses.
Oh.
Those are the Angela type glasses.
You're right. Yeah. Well, you know, they're supposed to be the same age because they went to school together.
And that's the glasses you wore when you were that age?
That is, yeah.
In the 80s?
Even though I think 80s. We determined when we did the previous version of this that she's actually like 10 years older than Judith Light.
Oh, that's right.
Those are Polaroids. So I'm hoping that that's not the camera that man had.
No, I mean, that's what they probably took.
For continuity. Yes. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Then it gets real silly because Tony's like, you could have at least left me a bowl of water. And then Angela starts to scratch behind his ear and he starts kicking.
Kicking is like, I know, silly.
I know. But it is cute because they're at least touching each
Easy
other.
Easy jokes, yeah. Right. I mean, obviously they're jokes. And, right. But it just gives them a reason to flirt.
Exactly. Silly. Yes. Now, Trish is looking at these Polaroids of Charlie from the stand-in portion of it. And she's like, you know what? This girl really has a look. She's beautiful. It's just so funny to me, too. Here because we had that whole episode with Sam where she tried to be a model and then the lady came back and was like, you're too short, your ears are too not symmetrical,
all these things,
like just completely ripped her apart. And now here's a girl that looks exactly like her.
It was saying she's perfect.
Right. She's just as short and she has so many similar features and now she's gonna, and she doesn't even, she just gets plucked out of this house and taken right to be on.
And what's funny about it is she's looking at Polaroid pictures of her probably on her hands and knees. So it's kind of weird in a way, but like the whole thing's a little weird, but whatever.
It is, but we just got to get to this spinoff of Living Doll. So that whatever it takes at this point.
I guess so.
Oh my gosh, something got in the way of the camera there.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, I just went back. It's the cabinet.
Yeah,
I think they rolled the camera too far over to the left, and so you could see. I know, me too. They get Charlie to come in there, and they tell her what's going on, and that Trish is interested in her being a model. At first, Charlie's like, "No, thanks. I'm good. I live on my own. I don't need to come live with you." She leaves the kitchen, and Angela's like, "Oh man, I'm sorry. That probably would have been really good for her." And Tony's like, "Yeah, I think so too." And he's about to go try to talk some sense into her. And she swings the door to the kitchen back open. And she's like, how many bathrooms she got? 2. How many girls live there? 4. All right. She's like, that's pretty good odds.
She's like, I like those odds.
So she decides she's going to do it. She goes into the living room and Sam's coming home. And Charlie tells her, listen to this. I'm going to go be a model and live with Trish. And Sam's like, wow, that's great. And she's like, well, yeah, I mean, at least it's going to get me out of your father's hair. And Sam apologizes for Dad. She's like, you know what? I'm really sorry. I don't know what's happened with him. I don't know why he's changed so much. Normally he would have helped you out. But Charlie's like, you're kidding. She's like, your dad is great. And right. he let me stay here.
Samantha, how good she's got it.
Yes, exactly. Because this girl doesn't even have a father. He passed away, but we don't even know what he was to her before he passed away.
Right.
And obviously she has a mom who doesn't care much. So she's basically talking some sense into Sam. She goes upstairs, and then Tony comes into the living room, and Sam just starts kissing all over him like Angela was with Jonathan.
That was actually well done.
I know. It's so cute because you know Tony misses all those times of being able to hug and kiss her when she was a little girl.
Yeah.
And now he gets it for like a minute until she decides she's going to go watch TV and leave him alone again.
Who's the boss? We'll be back in a moment. Stick around.
In the tag, this now sets up what happens in the aired version of Living Dolls, where he's getting Samantha ready to go on a trip. So she's going to go to New York. She's going to visit Charlie, and she's going to write a paper on being a model and living in the big city. And before she leaves, Tony gives her a headshot of himself and wants her to give it to Trish.
That's nice. He could have given it to Trish 10 times.
He could have. You're
right. While she was here at the house.
Maybe he didn't have... After they did the commercial in the kitchen, he gave the photographer $50 to take a few pictures of him outside. And then he went to Eckerd's and he got them printed. Do they still have Eckerd's?
I don't think Eckerd's is still around, but was that even a northern thing?
I don't know, actually.
Florida had Eckerd's everywhere.
The Piggly Wiggly, which was a grocery store, so actually I don't know.
I remember that too.
Okay, and so that's why he had to do it now. Now, in the aired version of Living Dolls, they don't have any of the setup, but Samantha does get there. She knows that Charlie is living there, and I think she tells Trish about her dad saying once again that he's available to be a model if she ever needs it.
Oh, okay.
And that is the end of the episode.
All right.
Okay, I think I go first with rating this time. So I'm pretty sure you went first last time.
Really?
Yeah, because I shamed your low rating.
Oh, right.
But this time... I'm going to give this episode accurate. A six. You're right. I'm going to give this episode a six. Oh, I should say why.
I think that's what we do.
Yes. I just, you know, it's a spinoff episode. So whatever. It's not terrible, but I don't know. It's just kind of... It's written by a writer that we don't know that well, and it's here to be a vehicle to get you to the Living Doll spinoff. So it's fine. There's not a ton of Tony and Angela. I do love the Angela kissing on Jonathan and the Samantha kissing on Tony parts because it was at least some cute family stuff. Jonathan didn't really have anything to do, but what he did with what he had to work with was great.
All right.
I was very happy with that. Okay, your turn.
Okay, well, I personally think this episode was a seven.
I like this one a lot.
I think I said that before because we were talking about the seasons, you know, what's going to happen next.
And admit it, you just really like Leah Remini.
I mean, I do. I really, you know what? That's so funny you say, I will say that. I think I looked up Leah Remini, and she this was the second thing she did, and I thought she did a great job.
She did. She does.
She was a natural. She sold it like she was like, you know, I'm this like Brooklyn, and I, you know, and I think unfortunately, like, not unfortunately really, but she's typecast after that, and, like you know, King of Queens, obviously, you know, which was great. She was excellent in King of Queens. You know, I love King of Queens.
Yeah.
And I loved watching that show. We even went to a taping of it, which was great. Oh, yeah,
that's right, we did.
Yeah, so, I thought she did a great job in it, and she was just naturally, like, she wasn't trying hard. She just really was
she's
good
in this
episode.
She's definitely very talented, yeah.
Yeah, she really was, and with, you know, Alyssa Milano, like, they both played off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the whole episode was pretty good. I thought it was worth a seven. I know you
agree
with that.
I'm probably being too harsh.
And there were some cute moments, and then Tony putting plastic all over the kitchen, and like, because he's taking it seriously. I mean, Tony takes everything seriously. We're shooting a commercial. This kitchen's got to be perfect.
Spotless.
You know? Yeah, so, and then, of course, Mona and... she had a couple of moments and they were all kind of funny. He's taking the cereal away from Charlie.
All right,
and
then you're really selling this here.
And then the ice cream, dropping the ice cream, the butterscotch on the floor and not giving a crap
you're
about
right,
it.
You're right.
So
you're
anyway,
right.
All right, I'll stop there.
Who's the boss around here? Me or my mother? Or maybe it's you?
I think the boss is Trish. And here's why. No, I am. I actually think. Oh, sorry. I actually think Tony was the boss.
Good, nice.
I mean, this was a tough
one
to pick.
It was.
I think, and I really couldn't. When thinking about who the boss is, I had no idea. So I'm going to go with Tony only because he was still overall trying to do the right thing, even though Samantha came down and called him out and said, "You know, what's wrong with you?" And you know, we need to keep her here to live with us or whatever. I still think Tony was trying to do the right thing. He called her mother, you know, and because he had no idea she had run away or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, overall, Tony was the boss. Still tried to do the right thing. Still was trying to keep Charlie on the right path.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. I think Tony's the boss also because a lot of the same reasons, like he found out that this kid was in trouble and he was pretty much doing whatever he could to make sure that she was going to have somewhere to go.
Oh, right. That was the other thing. He was stressed out sitting on the couch staring at the wall for who knows how long because he was very stressed about her. Sorry.
We know Mona was no help.
No. Just dropping ice cream everywhere.
Offering to let the kids stay with her and then who
knows. That's true. She was a little helpful.
Well, but then that kid would have just been watching a string of other older men come through named Bob. Like she was not going to, it was not going to be what she needed for a secure household.
That's a good point.
So yeah, I'm going to go with Tony. Even though Sam was called him out for ridiculous reasons, really, you know, he was working on it and he was trying to do what he could. That was the best for her. All right. Well, you can reach us at the Who's the Boss podcast on Instagram, the Who's the Boss Pod 1 on Twitter, or go to Facebook where the page is called the Who's the Boss podcast page, or go to anchor.fm/WTB podcast, and there you can leave a voice message. The next episode we're going to do, I'm very excited about.
Oh, good.
It's called In Your Dreams, and Angela kind of has a dream sequence where she imagines what life would have been like if she was married to Tony and they lived in Brooklyn. It's super cute.
The closest you're going to get.
No, right?
Until season 8.
Right. Until like the last episode.
Of the two of them together. Yeah. Got it.
It's super cute. Okay. We'll talk to you later, everyone. Bye.
All right. Bye.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give a big thumbs up and tell all your friends. And maybe you can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.